In a day of moral deterioration and spiritual darkness, there stands an institution of learning grounded on the Word of God, holding forth the light of truth. Bob Jones University, a fortress of faith.
My name is Henry Holland. I'm a medical missionary. During my ministry, I restored sight to 100,000 persons. Sound impossible? Listen to my story. My father was a parson in an obscure village in England, and he wanted me to follow in his footsteps. But if there was anything in the world I did not wish to be, it was a preacher.
Henry, come here. It's time we talked seriously of your plans for entering a profession. Now, I can make arrangements for you to enter the seminary in the fall.
No, Father. I've seen too much of a preacher's life. It's all giving and no getting.
Ah, no, son, you're wrong. You've just been too young to understand how much getting I've received. Not in pounds and shillings, perhaps, but in other ways.
I will not enter the ministry, Father.
Then what is your choice?
I think I should like to go into medicine. I should like to go to Edinburgh University. My father agreed, and I entered Edinburgh. But it seemed the Lord wasn't going to let me get very far from the effects of his call.
Henry, why don't you come with me to the meeting?
What meeting?
It's called the University Christian Medical Association. There's a group of men who are going to be medical missionaries.
Sure. There's nothing else to do. Why, there's old Smith and Connor and...
Surprised? A good number of the faculty are Christian men, Henry. They're interested in medical missions. This old world of ours has a terrible need for healing and for Christ.
Ready, Charles? Exam in 10 minutes.
Thank you. I'll be there in just a moment.
Say, what's this motto over the mantle? Not for ours only. What does it mean, not for ours only?
That's a verse from 1 John, the 2nd chapter. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world.
Not for ours only. The Lord used that verse to break my stubborn will, and upon graduation I applied for a missionary assignment. I had expected to be assigned to Africa.
Dr. Holland, we're sending you to Quetta.
Where's that?
Northwest Pakistan.
My practice was to be among rocky deserts, barren hills, and the blood-stained passes of Pakistan. The tribesmen were cruel and fanatical. They were tall, bearded men with deep-set fiery eyes and hawk noses. The mission had been organized there by a group of British soldiers. When I reached Quetta, I found people lying in the streets.
It was a plague. We often have them here. They die so fast they cannot be buried quickly enough.
And this is my hospital?
I know it is very humble, but it is a beginning. It will let the people know someone cares.
I don't understand. Why won't they listen to the gospel?
You must remember, Sahib, no Afghan turned Christian has ever returned to his native country and lived. To these people, the killing of an infidel, a Christian, assures them of eternal bliss.
Many missionaries and their converts had been slaughtered. Fear crept over the others of us as we worked. My daily prayer was, Lord, may I scorn the way of safety, so that thy will might be done. And so, Father, I've been treating almost all the ailments in the medical glossary, but cataracts particularly. So many are blind who could see. When a patient comes for an operation, he brings his whole family, children, animals, chickens, and his camel. Some will not sleep under a roof, and so they bring their tents. There is no use trying to separate them, so I use antiseptic profusely and pray for God's healing despite conditions. Well, what's this tethered to your bed?
My horse.
Is your horse sick?
No, he not sick. He only lonely without me.
Our hospital grew without plan or design, and was a helter-skelter assortment of annexes. One night, I was jarred awake by a thundering roar.
Doctor! Dr. Sahib! It is earthquake! Doctor, come!
Oh, my head.
Cut on head. You all right?
I'm all right. Help me up. The earthquake killed 24,000 of the 60,000 people in Quetta. When we were through bandaging the wounded and burying the dead, we realized our hospital, the efforts of 35 years of labor, was a shambles. I went home to England and told the people of the need and raised the money for a well-equipped 200-bed hospital. On my return to Pakistan, I became more proficient in operations to restore sight, and one day I was approached by a wealthy native.
I am a banker in Shikarpur. I would like you to visit our city.
No Christian has ever been allowed in Shikarpur. It's a closed Hindu city.
I will guarantee your safety. Will you come visit us?
Only if it is understood that where I practice my medicine, I will also preach the gospel. I stayed on at the banker's estate and set up an operating theater on the veranda. In 3 weeks, I performed 400 operations.
Dr. Sahib, there are many in my city who need you. Will you come next year? Perhaps every year?
If you will build a suitable hospital. But remember, I will preach the gospel. I imagine Shikarpur is the first city in the world to be open to Christianity at the point of a cataract knife. The next year, Shikarpur's hospital was open for 6 weeks, and we performed 3,500 operations. My work with the blind was becoming known. I had offers from everywhere, even a long-distance call from the United States.
Come, Holland, join my staff. It's the largest eye, ear, nose, and throat hospital in the States.
It's out of the question.
I've been told every man has his price. Think about it. 50,000?
Your offer is beyond my wildest dreams. But you can't put a price on a man's calling, or on his love for his people. The governmental officials often called on me for help. One day, some of them took me with them for a conference with a border bandit whose murdering and pillaging had thrown the whole area into chaos. He rode up on a prancing stallion with rifle in hand. To every suggestion, he was surly and defiant. And seeing the negotiations were getting nowhere, I threw a medicine chest over my shoulder and went into the bandit's camp.
Halt. Who are you?
I'm a doctor.
What do you want?
Are Mohammed's followers here?
Yes.
Are there many sick among you?
Many are sick.
Take me to them. I have medicine for their pains and a wonderful story for their ears. After several hours, I returned to the conference to find the outlaw ready to kill the government party.
Who are you? What are my people doing following you?
He is doctor. He has been healing our people. He is a good man.
A doctor. We will go back and talk some more.
The Lord used this incident to cause the bandits to lay down their arms. In the months and years that followed, I found great need in the tribal areas, and as often as I could, I'd climb on my camel, the most uncomfortable conveyance known to man, and go into the villages to patch up wounds and perform eye operations. One of the most needy groups of people was the women, who were bought and sold like cattle. When I had established a women's hospital at Quetta, the only approach these people would understand was the financial waste when they allowed the women to die untreated. And I was challenged by another most delicate task, replacing the women's noses. Tradition allowed a man to chop off his wife's nose when he was angry with her. Later, he was likely to regret his action and to bring her to the hospital.
Dr. Sahib, fix wife. Fix nose.
You have money. It will cost 60 shillings.
Mm.
Isn't it worth the money to have a wife with a nose?
That is a hard question, Dr. Sahib. For 75 shillings, I can buy new wife.
Today, the daughters of the best families are being trained as doctors and nurses. I think one of the happiest days of my ministry was the day when the hospital could be taken over completely by native leaders. It became their hospital and their work. Many times I've been asked, why? Why spend your life on a foreign mission? It reminds me of my own statement to my father when I was a boy. I've seen too much of a preacher's life. It's all giving and no getting.
You've just been too young to understand how much getting I've received.
I've received payment the world can never give. I've seen souls saved, the sick healed, the blind made to see. And seeing this, I am rich beyond degree.
God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. Crown thy nails and churches glorious, bring her back to the power. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, for the facing of the facing of the
They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Today's story was adapted for radio by Doris Harris and Laura Pratt from Adventures for God, written by Clarence W. Hall. Listen again next week for another dramatic story of Christian experience from the Fortress of Faith, Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.